Veterans Day came and went on Friday, but concerns about American vets and active duty military extend well beyond just a single day. Southern Oregon Public TV extends its series of local focus programs on vets with a focus on military families. The service members are the ones heading overseas into great danger, but they leave behind families that can experience a great deal of stress themselves. Ellen Amelia Ressus is a filmmaker. She put together a documentary called While Time Stands Still. It will screen a couple of times in coming days and will be the local focus of a program on Southern Oregon Public TV. Ellen is in the studio with me. Ellen, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Good to have you here. And Jeff LeBeau, who is Southern Oregon Public TV's production director, and he joins us as well. Jeff, good to see you again.
Nice to see you, Jeff.
So, Ellen, talk about the birth of your focus on military families.
Well, actually, I grew up in a military community. My father was a civilian. He worked for the Navy, for the Department of Defense. So all of my classmates were military brats, so to speak, and I had the privilege and advantage of sort of seeing everything that they went through up close in Naples, Italy. And then somehow, I live in Los Angeles, and I meet a Marine, and I fall in love with a Marine. How does that happen in L.A.? It's not exactly the biggest military community. If it was San Diego, that would be obvious.
True.
But and he was deployed in 2004, 2005. And I was completely blindsided by the experience. You know, I'd worked in news before. You'd think in terms of having some inkling of what that experience might be like as a family. But, you know, there really isn't anything out there that has ever spoken to the experience of a family in terms of a film. And you'd see a woman on the porch cut to the battle scene. That would be about the extent of how they show families experiencing combat deployments. And I felt that with my professional and personal experience that I really needed to tell the story of military families and let people know what that is like to go through a wartime deployment of a loved one so that both families could be prepared and know what to expect and not feel as alone, and then the greater community could figure out how to support them.
Why do you suppose it blindsided you? I mean, coming from a military family, you were aware of the fact that people deploy and other people stay home.
Absolutely. But it's one thing also to do it in times of peace, mm-hmm. and it's another thing to do it in times of war. And, you know, war changes everything. You know, you sometimes feel like it's a little bit of a Russian roulette on a daily basis. Is it going to be my day to get that phone call? Is it going to be my day to get the knock on the door? Anytime that phone rings, it could be, you know, the worst news of injury. Anytime that knock happens on your front door, you think it, you know, you don't think the UPS person. You think, what news am I going to get on the other side of that door?
The families that you profiled, had they joined or had the service members joined up when we were at peace and then it became a war situation?
It was a mix. Some chose to serve after 9/11 and some had already been in.
All right. So here's an example. We have Jordan and Denity Cochran. Is that their names?
Yes.
Jordan and Denity. And they went through a situation where life changed a bit because Jordan decided to join the Marines after they'd been together for a few years. And we have a clip about that. And you can hear them talking about their life changing.
We've been married for 3 years when I made the decision to join the Marine Corps. I felt like I wanted to give back to our freedom.
He joined specifically to go over to Iraq, knowing that guys that even he doesn't know have been over there 3 and 4 times. And he wanted to absolutely help them.
She was totally supportive. She has a brother who is an Army Ranger and has been for about 3 years.
Even that did not prepare Denity for life as a military spouse.
He went off to boot camp, leaving me to sell our house by myself, leaving me to move by myself. I had to quit my job, come out here where there's not a whole lot going on in 29 Palms as far as careers go.
Out here, it was just literally stark desert.
It's just crazy to think that 3 years ago we were on our way to start our lives and we had the white picket fence with the house with the dog.
And things are very different now for Jordan and Denity. Now, how did you find the people, Ellen Amelia Ressus, to profile in the film?
Well, I was very lucky to get a production assistance agreement with the Department of Defense. Apparently, they're very rare when you are working on a documentary. And they let me talk to 3 families at 29 Palms. And one of the spouses was actually going to be returning home. So she was going to be going back to the Midwest. So I wouldn't be able to film with her and do follow-up interviews in the way that I liked. And the other 2 wives said that, yes, they would be happy to do daily video diaries for me and would be absolutely open, you know, to continuing with the project. So I didn't do a lot of casting. It was like, okay, here's what's available to me and let's go. Let's make this happen.
So we heard from Jordan and Denity Cochran, Brandy and Aaron Albritton. What's their basic situation?
When I met them, they had already deployed once before. And that first time she'd been pregnant 9 months and gave birth to their first child while he was actually deployed in Iraq. So I met them, and they actually had two kids by the time I met them, but they were both toddlers. So Brandy was experienced in having been through the deployment before, but you know, every deployment is different. Your family changes every time. The ages of your kids change every time, and the circumstance under which your loved one is deployed in terms of safety also changes. So they, to some degree, knew better what they were getting into, but every deployment has its ups and its downs.
You know, the story about the children being born when service members are away, it's pretty stark, but here's Brandy and Aaron talking about their situation.
I was very scared about him having to deploy to Iraq, just because of everything that I would see on the news.
It was stressful for my wife, emotional, because it's dangerous over there.
Our son, Elisha, was 14 months old when he left.
My first deployment, she was 9 months pregnant.
And I was almost about to deliver my second baby.
2 weeks later, after we ended up getting in the country, one of our lieutenants came and he woke me up. He announced to me that, hey, your wife had a baby boy.
So, wow, thousands of miles away, finding out that your child has been born. They knew what they were getting into when they signed up for this. It doesn't necessarily make it any easier, certainly.
Absolutely not. And it's one thing to know conceptually what something is, and it's another thing to live through it. And also, no matter what you know about the idea of war, you don't know how it's actually going to affect you when you're actually dealing with moment-to-moment life.
And plus, as we get through while time stands still, you realize you can pick out other parts in their lives, too. And there's another deployment still when Aaron goes away again. And Brandy has the two toddlers there, and one of them is just screaming his brains out.
Yeah, he was very unhappy about him going.
Yeah, it's tough to watch. So that is the film Ellen Amelia Ress is called While Time Stands Still, part of a larger project at Southern Oregon Public TV, the Local Focus Project. Jeff LeBeau is in the studio with us as well. You can join us at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Jeff, let's talk about how Local Focus includes additional families, I assume, from here.
Yeah, we interviewed a number of spouses and family members, a son who all have experienced deployment of their father or their husband during the past few years, and kind of explored the similarities and differences from the families we met in Elena's film. Really, the big thrust was a lack of a base here, or really a lack of a central place for families to network and to commiserate and to help each other. For security reasons, often these families don't even know what other families in the neighborhood are going through something similar. It was actually kind of surprising to learn.
So in a case like 29 Palms, and we were making hand motions while that portion of the film was playing about the Jordan identity, but it really is a flat, stark-looking desert there. But you also have other Marine families that
yes.
can give support. So I wonder how much networking goes on while service members are deployed, a chance for the family members to get together and support each other.
They do family events at least generally once a month. And so families are very much encouraged to take part of that. Most units also have Facebook and social media. Many of the families, especially the wives with young kids, find that to be easier and more manageable in the sense that you don't have to worry about child care as much. You know, if it's, you know, one thing when you have a child care event, you know, it's a family oriented. It's another thing if you're trying to go to something as an adult functioning, you're like, okay, what do I do with my kids? But they do tend to, you have your neighbors. So if they're not deploying right now, they deployed already. So there is that feeling that we've all been through this before. And the other thing is that military families, by the course of what the military life is, have to become resilient in terms of moving to new places and making new friends and sort of learning the territory very quickly, because otherwise you're by yourself, you know, thousands and thousands of miles, not only from your loved one, but from everybody that you know, your family, your friends, because you move around so frequently.
Does the military offer any capacity for in a sense, training families to get them oriented to what's about to happen?
They do, and it depends on where in the course of all of this that is. When I went through it, there was a pre-deployment briefing and a homecoming briefing, and so that was it. And the pre-deployment briefings tend to happen pretty soon before the deployment happens. So what is difficult for families is at that point, it almost feels like white noise. You're very aware of the fact that your loved one is going to war, and so you're not going to see them for X amount of time, 7 months, a year, 15 months. And so it makes it very hard to pay attention.
All right, now that's when there's a base around. Now, Jeff, you found out something different about in Southern Oregon, for example, where there are no bases.
Well, with the National Guard, when they're deployed en masse, it's very similar. Mm-hmm. But Southern Oregon is filled with reservists, Marine, Army, and sometimes days before, they'll get a call, and they're gone. And so there's not a group deployment. There's a series of individuals, and often they decide or they're encouraged not to even let their neighbors and others know that the husband or the spouse is deployed. And
just for the purposes of secrecy of the mission? Or
variety of reasons, and we're joined by Captain Billy Hayden tonight during Local Focus, and that is one of the things that he'll hopefully will be able to shed light on. My understanding is for security reasons is one of the main reasons, but he shared with me that there's a number of other reasons, but unfortunately we didn't get into that, but we will be getting into that tonight.
Go ahead.
It's one of the most difficult things for National Guard and Reserve families that they're not living in an installation or around an installation. And so I think one of the most important things when you're going through a deployment is to have at least one person that you can talk to that can relate to what you're saying, because you might think that your friends and family might be those people, but they're not experiencing the same thing. So it makes it additionally challenging for reservists and for National Guards, people to be able to actually have a healthier experience, because sometimes they don't know anybody else that's going through it.
Jeff LeBeau, did you find the presence of any groups, any support meetings, anything like that, where spouses, family of people deployed in Southern Oregon get a chance to network with each other?
Surprisingly, no. That was one of the things that my takeaways that I was really somewhat taken back that there wasn't USO. There's not organizations.
No chances to connect then.
And what's really hard sometimes also is when kids are in a civilian school situation, their teachers don't even sometimes know that their parent is deployed. So depending on how old you are, how that manifests in terms of behavioral problems or grades going down. And their teachers may not be aware that there is an actual cause for all this happening in terms of being able to support them in a way that's helpful.
Seems like that might help the teacher.
In fact, one of our local interview shared that near the end of the school year is when he discovered that there was a fellow student in class that was also had a father going through deployment, and he had no idea.
Really? Oh, yeah. Wow. Jeff LeBeau is of Southern Oregon Public TV doing a Local Focus series of events, Local Focus Families at War, which includes a focus on Ellen Amelia Ressus's, if I got the plural right there, While Time Stands Still, a documentary about families staying behind while loved ones go overseas to deploy. 800-838-3760 if you'd like to get in on this conversation by phone. Emails go to jx@jeffnet.org. So program tonight, screenings tomorrow?
Yeah. Varsity Theater and the Ashland Independent Film Festival. And really nice to help us bring two screenings, chances to meet with Elena tomorrow at 3 and 6. We're also hoping it's a chance for families and other people in the community to come out and maybe start some grassroots organization that will lend itself to helping future families when their spouses and parent are deployed.
So the program with and Julie Akins is hosting now. This will be tonight at 9 o'clock?
Yes.
Okay. On Southern Oregon Public TV, KSYS in Medford, KFTS in Klamath Falls?
That's right.
All right. I still remember those. And then, so the screening's tomorrow. And so, Ellen, you'll be part of the program tonight.
Yes, I will.
On KSYS. All right. How much of an odyssey of I don't know, it's a bit of a sentimental journey for you, too, because you've been in the same situation. So, and I noticed that there was a bit of you in the film as well.
Yeah, I was actually the hardest person to book, quite frankly. I know that sounds funny, but I really didn't want to be in the film. I didn't want it to be all about me. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes it becomes a distraction to the actual story that you're trying to tell. But all the feedback that I was getting from my friends and colleagues was to, call that lady up and tell her to be in the movie. And so yes, my story is in the film. In terms of my own personal journey following families, I went through this in 2004, 2005. Sometimes it felt like I was kind of picking that scab and never letting it heal. It's very hard to say goodbye to people when they're deploying, and to hope for the best that they'll come home safe and sound, and, you know, to be on that ride with families, and you want it to stop. But, you know, I had the luxury of that being a choice. You know, families don't have that luxury all the time. People are still deploying today to Iraq and Afghanistan. It's one of the hardest things that families face with those loved ones right now, because it's definitely not in the public mind at all. You know, people think, okay, it's over. So that makes it very hard for people experiencing deployment right now. And, you know, I was very fortunate that my husband came home and he's fine and well, and we're fine as a family. But, you know, other people don't have that luxury to walk away. You know, they have injured loved ones, and they become caregivers sometimes for the rest of their lives. And those people truly need support, you know, from everyone.
So even in a case where somebody does come home physically fine, you know, no shrapnel wounds, no nothing, no traumatic brain injury, they've still been in a war, which is not a situation that human beings are really geared to get into, as I think we've adequately established in society.
Right.
Handing a gun to somebody saying, go kill people, is just not natural for the human psyche. So, and we've talked a lot about service members and the difficulty reintegrating into society when they come back. Now, how much assistance do they get from the military in trying to reintegrate with families when they get home?
Not a lot. A lot of them have a briefing before they get home, and they've been doing what's called master resilience programs, trying to help both the service member and the family. But what people don't realize, it's not just the service member that needs a transition period and needs help. After you've been shaken up like a soda, you know, for however long, and you've lived in a state of hypervigilance, you have all these feelings and all this emotion and all this stress. You can literally, like, you know, if you think of a soda can.
Yeah,
so if
analogy.
you don't let some of that out, then you just keep that within your body. And, you know, people sometimes try to just swallow it down and pretend like it didn't happen, but then it festers in other places. And there's always a transition. You know, you've been apart for however long, and you have to come together as a family and figure out, you know, how that all works, because you're different people now.
Just a couple seconds left. I mean, were lessons learned with Iraq and Afghanistan deployments that are now being done differently with people going now?
And they're trying to have more family programs. So hopefully it all depends on the budget, too, because if there's no money, there are no services.
All right. Ellen Amelia Ressus is a filmmaker. Her film was called While Time Stands Still. It will screen tomorrow at the Varsity Theater in Ashland, 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. She will also be interviewed tonight on KSYS, KFTS, Southern Oregon Public TV, for Local Focus Families at War. That'll be tonight at 9 o'clock.
Yes, sir.
On the air. Good to have Jeff LeBeau and Elena here. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.